All right, we're going to kick things off, guys. Welcome to the True Hoop NBA Finals Game 5 Breakdown with Coach Thorpe. I'm Gerard Hector. Coach, 123-119, the Bucks. It's kind of a squeaker, right? Because Phoenix, Milwaukee had that double-digit lead, and then Phoenix kind of just made that run and comeback, keyed off their defense. I thought a pivotal play was, you know, we always talk about players' unselfishness in big moments and why that matters. On the play where Holiday got the steal and then the Giannis lob for the dunk and then he got fouled to the free throw line, I thought Drew spinning back to the middle, either looking to pass or whatever, I kind of wish when he came down, he just pulled up and shot the mid-range from there. What did you see in the close?
You mean Booker?
Yeah, Booker, excuse me, yeah.
Yeah, well, he didn't because PJ Tucker jumped and the way the timing worked, and there were two guys on Booker, I don't think he could have done that, but I also thought Holiday easily could have been called for a foul, except that there were four other plays previously where Phoenix clearly fouled Milwaukee. The refs weren't calling shit. I mean, it was football. It wasn't rugby, pretty close to rugby. It was very physical on the ball. It almost was like whoever didn't have the ball had an advantage because the refs weren't going to call anything. So that was – I don't love that. I'd rather them call fouls. But Chris Paul screwed up on that play. He should have played for the lob. Now, it may not have mattered because Giannis jumped so high.
Right.
But there, if Chris Paul had faked at Drew and retreated and then kind of cut Giannis off, I think the Bucks would have been forced to do something else. So, but I mean, that's obviously a bang-bang kind of play. And Holiday made an amazing pass. Not easy to do. I mean, that play was the capper of the Holiday game. Like, this was exactly what they needed to do, right? This Drew had to have one of these games, and he finally did.
He was excellent making shots through the first three quarters. The shot kind of went away a little bit in the fourth, and you could tell he was a little bit timid in taking certain shots. But defensively, that maintained the entire game.
Yeah.
He made every big play, had 11 assists tonight. He was phenomenal. Middleton hit some big shots. It's interesting. Giannis was a minus eight for the game. I know single game plus minus is, you know, just a weird stat. But, you know, he had a strange game, kind of made some big plays. The Suns did some, you know, did the right thing in a lot of places, right? Fouled him. He was only 4 of 11 from the free throw line. But this was huge, right? Winning this game on the road, you know, it's just going to be tough for Phoenix to go into Milwaukee and win. Although, but as you said when we started, these teams are very close, right? You can easily see a game coming out where Drew doesn't shoot well in game six, right? And you don't have the great Middleton game, and, you know, guys are on Phoenix are hitting shots.
Yeah, the margins are small. I mean, I felt before the series and I felt after games one and two that the better team was Milwaukee. Phoenix has probably, game two for Phoenix was, all right, this is them almost at their best. In terms of just shooting the ball, they didn't actually run great offense, but they shot lights out with 20 or 40. And they just haven't done that since, except for the first quarter today. It looked like maybe they would do it when they couldn't miss. And then, of course, you know, they kind of fell back to earth. But not only are they evenly matched teams, more or less. I mean, I think Milwaukee is just a little bit better. The injury factor, again, Chris Paul seemed to have figured stuff out late. Giannis figured stuff out late. Middleton's exhausted for sure. Who knows what we'll get in this next game. It's different if you have a dominating team. We don't. They're too evenly matched. So we'll see how the health goes. They get an extra day again. They don't play till Tuesday, which is – that's helpful for sure. Just for both teams to be at more at full strength. We've been talking after every game and our Bring It In shows where – I always feel like Milwaukee had more ammunition to counter with when they were losing. Yeah. And so that's what we've seen. Phoenix's one thing has been more aware of Giannis to double on the catch or the drive. They've mixed it up some. But the risk was leaving guys open for three. There's a reason why Pat Connaughton's had such a great – I mean, he's not wide open every time. He's open. I thought – and you know, the thing is, too, this game was obviously very tight. The Bucks – so think about a couple plays. There was a goaltending call on Giannis that wasn't a goaltend. And the Bucks had the rebound. You remember that play?
Yep.
Okay. Twice, and this is not the referee's fault, twice Middleton and Holiday made what I thought were threes live, but they only gave him twos, and I'm sure it was the right call. They barely stepped on the line. That was poor on their part. I don't like my guys being within 6 inches of the 3-point line. Right. Don't give the referee the chance to blow the call if they want, especially if they're not going to check it. And then there were two times in this game where at one point it was a 13-point lead in that early fourth quarter, and I think Lopez missed a three in and out.
Yep.
And then Cam Johnson comes down, nails a three. And then Portis later in the game, I think it was a 6-point game, in and out three, and then Chris Paul hits his three and cuts it to three. Those were big swings. So Milwaukee really could have, they could have a double figure win here with just a little bit of better fortune. Not that, Phoenix didn't have nothing but good fortune. They had plenty of bad luck too. But with that home crowd coming, you and I talked about this going back months about the teams that have had incredible pain.
Having that being necessary. Yes.
I've been watching the NBA Finals since the 70s.
Yes.
And I've been paying attention closely since the 80s when I was in middle school and high school, especially high school.
Correct.
Starting in ninth grade with Magic versus the Sixers when Kareem missed game six. I listened to that game on the radio live because it wasn't live on TV at the 42-15 and 7 game. And then I watched it knowing who won the game. Because I was just so overjoyed. That was a nice trade. I was just so happy the Lakers had won. So I just know all about that pain. I've been paying attention a long time, and the Bucks have gone through it. But we've got to say Phoenix showed incredible fight.
Oh, they could have folded easily tonight. I mean, once Milwaukee started flexing, they could have been like, all right, we don't got this game. And to tie into your point, when you talk about this, right, and I think – in the era of super team creation, right, we kind of missed that a little bit. And even before Durant joined the Warriors, that Warriors team didn't go through any pain before they won their first title. They had one playoff series they lost in the first round, and the next year they won the title, right? That isn't pain, right? It isn't what the Pistons went through in the 80s. It isn't what the Bulls went through in the late 80s into the 90s. Right, it isn't those kinds of, man, we get our ass kicked every year, or we get to the conference finals and we fall short. So I think the Bucks have that more than any team, and there's that collective reservoir they can tap into of, man, we've been here, guys. Like, we know what this feels like, right? And so I think that's huge. What I saw too, Coach, I saw a lot of, and it's kind of one of those things where the Suns all year, what made them so tough to beat was the way they played offense, right? The ball zipping around and moving. Now, some of that, you got to give the Bucks defense a little bit of credit. But it's also, they kind of got away from stuff and guys were stationary. Bridges wasn't cutting. Cam Johnson wasn't cutting, right? But Devin Booker was hitting mid-range shots. What did you see from the Phoenix Suns offense? Which, by the way, we lauded Giannis for having two back-to-back 40-point games. So Devin Booker, even though he lost this one.
Do you have the stats in front of you?
I do not, but I can pull them up.
Yeah. Check. I want to see what Phoenix was shooting shots from three today. Tonight. Because everything you said is great, and
Phoenix, I would 13 of 19 from three.
13 of 19 from three.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's incredibly instructive. I didn't know it was. I mean, I knew they shot well. That's incredibly well, but only 19 threes.
Correct.
So what you said just now is talking about the stagnation of their offense and guys not cutting as much and Booker. I would say that this is what Coach Bud has done, is he has turned the Phoenix Suns. It's not a Cuisinart. I think I called it an easy bake oven when I wrote an article about them calling them contenders in March, I think it was, because they were cooking people with their easy bake oven, just easy basketball. But he has turned that into a kind of a one-man show.
Yep.
And it's Giannis. It's easier for the Bucks to run through Giannis because he's not a primary ball handler the way they're playing right now.
Mm-hmm.
He handles the ball. He's not a primary ball handler. What Milwaukee has done is Phoenix is known for that easy bake oven, meaning cutting, moving the ball, corner threes, and shooting a good amount of threes. Remember, they went 20-40 in game two.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, they took less threes than they made in game two.
Yep. Hit him at a high rate, which is good, but didn't take enough of him. But that's
amazing.
The difference. Yes.
Yeah, that's the Bucs defense. That's late chasing guys off the line, leaving us. I mean, one of the things they've done much, much better than they did in game one and two is racing to contest guys because they know when it's coming and where it's coming. And they've run them off. So, yeah, I don't know. What did Milwaukee shoot from three today?
Milwaukee was good. They were 50% from three. They took 28, 14 to 28.
14 to 28. So, I mean, only a 9-3 different. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Milwaukee obviously shot well. And after the way they shot last game, it's not a surprise. They're a good shooting. They're a very good shooting team. But, yeah, that's the length and the size of the Bucks. And I think the coaching and the strategy of where we're going to force these guys to shoot. I mean, they're making Booker, take incredible heroic shots. He's amazing. And they're twos.
Yeah.
You know, they were better not fouling him today, although, I mean, it's 5-on-4 when P.J. Tucker's in the game, and it's 5-on-2 when Jeff Teague is in the game. There's a reason why you didn't see Teague in the second half.
Those Teague minutes were, he was obviously a minus, and they lost all those Teague minutes.
It was terrible.
You know, the Bucks we mentioned, right, when they are clicking, and this is sort of, I think, what people get so frustrated with about the Bucks is because when they are clicking and playing well, you're like, this team is so unbeatable, but they're so inconsistent. But they got that game tonight where literally their big three, all three of them played well. And of course, we talked about this being the Jrue Holiday game. And I just think when you look at it and you're matching up, the Suns just can't answer that unless they get 43s and they shoot 20 of 40, which the Bucks are taking that away. Right, and that's the thing about the Bucks. Their three main guys offensively are also their three best defenders. Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, for sure.
When you have that, that is such a huge advantage.
Yeah. The going into the series, we talked a lot about Jrue and how, you know, he wants to be a game manager quarterback more than an assertive, aggressive scoring force. And I believe it was on Friday's Bring It In. I had told Henry on Thursday after the Wednesday night game, I told him, as much as I've been high on the Bucks, and it's 2-2 now, I'm a little worried about picking the Bucks going forward because Jrue has just been so bad. But I thought a lot about that. That was Thursday morning. My Friday show, if you remember, I picked the Bucks because I said I'm going to bet on Jrue. Like I know it's not because I coached him and taught him a damn thing. That's for sure. I just know who he is.
Right.
And I was I know players a little bit anyway. So I thought to myself, these guys have so much pride, Gerard, you know that. They have so much pride and they feel so much pain when they suck.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think Jrue knew, just trying to read his body language during game four, I think he knew I fucking suck tonight. Except I really guarded. I quarterbacked our team well. I took 20 shots, and you got to love me for being aggressive.
Right.
I can't be that bad. And we still won. Fuck it, man. I'm just going to go ball. I'm just going to go ball out.
Exactly.
Trust myself. I thought he might do that. I didn't think he'd be too into his head where he wouldn't do that. I didn't predict he would do this, obviously. But I thought they'd win because I thought he would be better. And he was. He was actually spectacular.
He was incredible.
I mean, that second quarter – yeah, that second quarter, we're gonna be talking about this in 10 years at True Hoop, Gerard. if the Bucks win a championship, they don't know. Okay, they win a championship in game 6 or 7, they don't have any shot. The fourth rule is 47-1. If you win a quarter by 10 or more points and don't lose a quarter by 10 or more, they're 47-1 in this postseason. I think it's something like. Oh, Gerard, over 3 years, it's going to be, 120-5 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you just, if you're a Phoenix, you just got to make sure you don't get blown out in a quarter and you win.
Yeah.
Do whatever you have to do. Jrue Holiday, second quarter, and the Bucks in general, blowing them out, saved everything.
And
saved everything.
Bud trusting Jrue with the two fouls to keep him in and not worry about picking up that third. I mean, all of that was huge. And, you know, we talked about this on the show on Bring It In. You know, all things being equal, nothing going on in his personal life or what have you. When a player is in a slump, the best indicator is, well, what are they as a career in terms of a shooter, right? What do all their numbers say?
Yeah.
And all their numbers say he's better than what he's been doing in the finals, right?
Right.
So, and he showed that tonight, right? Like that, it happened.
Right. Yeah. He, you know, he's a man of character. He's a constant professional and deserve, and so is Chris Middleton. He deserved it. And Gerard, what do you make of what we've been talking about now for three games? Like, what in the fuck is going on with Giannis and his fitness?
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff Van Gundy is talking about it. It's obvious to all of us. He just looks like he's exhausted. And all of a sudden, he makes an amazing move. I forget about jumping. That's a separate thing. Just beating people off the dribble. And, like, he blew by 8 in one time and scored so easily and hadn't been doing anything for a while. But what do you make of this? Is it something nefarious? What do you think?
What I think, it's not that he's cardiovascularly, like, you know, because he's super fit. What I think,
yeah, he's lean, right?
It's the knee. It's the hyperextended knee. Like, he is managing when he's gonna go explode and when he's not going to. You can see it because I'm like, you didn't even jump to dunk that one. No, he's choosing when he's.
You're right. There was a couple plays where he didn't get off the ground.
Yes, he's choosing.
Right. And right, so if that's pain management, what you're talking 100%.
About? 100%. He's managing the pain. Because, again, I don't care what anybody says. Oh, he's like, he's not Wolverine, okay? Like, the guy's not going to heal all the time when your knee bends the opposite direction. Like, that's not a thing, okay? So he's managing the pain. And he's like, all right, I'm not going to kill myself now. I'm going to do it here and insert myself at this point. That's when it is. But it makes sense, though, right? I mean, you saw the way his knee bent. I mean, the fact that he's even playing in the finals is amazing. I think it's 100% pain management. And when this finals is over, maybe like in August or early September, we'll finally hear from both sides. Okay, this is what was wrong with Giannis for real.
Yeah, right.
This is what was wrong with Chris Paul for real. And then we'll be like, oh, okay,
you're right.
We knew it.
Yeah, you're right. You're totally right. Do you think that I don't love playing this game until a team gets a three wins, but let's say the Bucks win in game six, which they're favored to win. And right now I'm picking them to win, but, you know, I'll find out with the injury report in the next couple of days. Let's say Giannis, you know, is 30, which he's probably going to have. And Middleton has 25 to 30, which he's probably going to have. Who's the MVP?
It's going to be Giannis for a number of reasons. One, it's just the way that the voting awards work, and we know the people that vote for these things, and we know how narratives and storylines work. You know, you can make a very good case that it would be Chris Middleton, but I think Giannis hasn't had a game where he scored less than 30 points in this entire finals. And generally, the player that scores the most points for the winning championship team tends to win this award.
He did score 30 in game one, but that was his first game back. I understand your point. And I agree with you. I think, and I'm not even saying he didn't deserve it, but my point is, I thought you said it perfectly. You can make a case for Middleton.
Sure.
Giannis earned it and probably is going to get it either if he didn't earn it because he's Giannis. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Middleton is right there, whereas if Phoenix, you know, if Booker hits a three at the buzzer, and now if there's only one guy in Phoenix that you would pick, right?
It's Booker, easily.
Right. So it's really 2-1. It's what it comes out to be. Mm-hmm. Holiday was just the extra oomph because the Milwaukee Bucks start a player that I'm telling you right now, I don't know how PJ Tucker is in the league next year. Now, if he's injured, then of course I understand.
Right.
Like, and he's but this guy is not an NBA player anymore. As I see it, no one guards him. Did he score tonight?
I'm going to check his box line right now. I don't.
I know he missed a layup. They got a dunk out of it, but he missed a little 7-foot floater.
That. Let's see. PJ Tucker, 3 points, 1 of 2, hit 1 3.
That's what I thought. He had a corner three.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. No one's guarding him. Okay. And all he does is foul. Now, he does bring a toughness, but there's plenty of guys that can bring some toughness that actually can score and not foul shooters.
You know,
so they're doing with you know, starter that's really a negative. John Hollinger had a great tweet tonight, Gerard, where Milwaukee was kind of blowing the game open. He tweeted, the Suns need to put Jeff Teague back in the game.
Well, here's the thing. If Bud did that, would that surprise you if you put Teague back in the game?
Oh, I think Giannis would punch him right in the chops. I mean, Jeff Teague might have punched him in the chops. Like, no. And I like Jeff Teague, yeah. I coached for a long time, I helped a young player named Courtney Lee. Yep. And I coached Courtney because before him there was a player I coached at Xavier, a longtime European pro that almost made the league, named Justin Cage. And these guys were all teammates at Indianapolis Pike in high school. But they were, you know, incredible teams. Because, you know, at least two guys, oh, George Hill also was from there.
Yeah.
They had three NBA players, and Michael Justin Cage was probably a better college player than all of them. And at Xavier, took them to the Final Eight. And because of Courtney, I've paid attention to Jeff Teague a lot. And he's just terrible in this series. I'm not nothing against him. He's just bad.
Yeah.
So I think he would have said, "Bud, what are you doing? I can't be in this game. You know, spare me." But I do think there's, if you're Phoenix, you feel like we just have to play better because there's no more adjustments we can make.
No. Yes.
You know, Giannis isn't scoring 40 plus. He's attacking more from the perimeter, which they want. We're making Chris make tougher shots. We are guarding Drew. They do have options of guarding him any more than that. They just have to. I don't know how many turnovers the Phoenix had tonight. They had less,
way less
than what they've had.
Chris Paul only had one. I mean, so
yeah. And what was Milwaukee on the glass?
Offensive glass, that has always been sort of our challenge, right? If you're Phoenix, so Milwaukee offensive rebounds only 11 tonight, not the 17
they had in
Game Four.
Right, so they've created. So this is where Phoenix is feeling themselves: is they had this incredible first quarter, they cut their turnovers down, they kept Milwaukee off the glass more, and they still lost. And they're at home. They're not the better team.
And it's because of the Drew Holiday. Right, when all three of those guys go like that, no matter how, unless again Phoenix goes 20 or 40 from three, they can't beat them. And their defense is not allowing. You know, Milwaukee's defense is not allowing that. DeAndre Ayton, I thought, played well tonight. He had a 2010 game. Chris, we talked about it. Chris Paul, there's something wrong with the left hand. I mean, we talked about it last time. He talked about the MRI in the conference finals. I mean, it's going to come out. But even him, right, you see it. He's deciding when he's turning it on and not. So he's also pain managing, right? At this stage, everybody is managing pain to varying degrees. And it's, you know, it's really a war of attrition, and the Bucks, just because they have extra guys, it matters. You know, the Sarge injury, I think, you know, really that hurts them, right? Like, you could spell DeAndre a little bit. You can, when Milwaukee goes double big, you can go double big, right? Like, it just, it really is unfortunate that, you know, they're not at full strength. But, you know, credit to Milwaukee. They're playing well.
I wonder what their record is in the history of the NBA Finals or in the postseason in general. How many teams have won a series where they lost three straight games in that series?
I can't imagine it's high. Like,
I mean, it's going to be incredibly low. Because obviously, there's a lot of 4-0 series.
Right.
What when you've lost three straight? The way you do, we know no one's ever come back down 3-0.
Right.
So the only ones that have ever done this have been down 2-0, then give up three straight like Phoenix just has, and then win two more.
Yeah.
I just don't know how often that's been done, but my guess is it's once or twice. I just think it's very low.
Not a lot. I will say, you know, the one of saving grace, right, Phoenix probably has is, you know, it's tough to beat a really good team four times in a row, right? Like, it's hard, especially in the NBA Finals. And Phoenix is a very good team. And the closeout game that's always the toughest, you know, so there's going to be nerves there. You know, I don't think it'll be a blowout in game six at all, you know, and again, if Phoenix finds a way to do some different things, but you're 100% correct, coach, there are no more tactical moves Phoenix can do. It's just about that aggression and keeping them off the boards and hoping that it's not another Drew Holiday big time game. Cause if those three go off again, they're losing.
Yeah. I mean, you could say, okay, let's, tonight, for example, late in the game, Chris Paul a couple of times bothered Milton way out in the perimeter. Chris Paul is such a genius defensive player. He uses his quickness to disrupt your offensive timing, but he can't get to your – if you can establish the move you want to make, he can't contest you when you're Chris Middleton. So they go Bridges on Holiday, Paul on Middleton. It's very, very risky. Very, very risky. Holiday can use his strength against Bridges. And Middleton can use his size against Paul. And now that they've shown that, that's what Bud's going to be talking about the next couple of days. Hey, if we get – if Chris Paul's on Middleton, let's make sure he can back him in. Not that Paul's easy to back in, but Middleton has no problem shooting over him.
Yeah.
And then and get some steamroll downhill for Holiday versus Bridges. You know, whereas Milwaukee has a lot more. Giannis on Booker. We saw that some tonight late in the game. I thought Booker did a great job attacking him. But I think that's what you want to force Booker to do is he'd much rather take his 10-foot fadeaway than go all the way to the rim against Antetokounmpo's size. He made it tonight, but it's what you want him to do, I think. Same as Paul. You want to force him to get to the rim.
Absolutely.
And not give him those mid-range. So I think Milwaukee, I just, like I said, every time we've done this, I just feel like Milwaukee has more guns, more bullets to fire.
For sure.
They didn't hit him in game one and two, but it's worked out pretty well for them after that.
And you got to remember, going home, Bobby Portis will probably play better, hit like a few more threes. You know, kind of all the role guys, you know, they'll be better in Milwaukee. You know, the Suns were excellent in terms of turnovers tonight, only 8. You know, as a team, they were really good. Devin Booker was outstanding again. I mean, let's remind ourselves, this is this young man's first playoff run, not just his first finals run, his first playoff run in his entire career. And this is he's ready for the moment, ready for the big time. Nothing's phasing him a little too much. We're going to open it up to questions here in a little bit. You know, I'm looking ahead, and I think you're 100% right, Coach. It's really going to be about, and you know, I hate cliche things, but Game 6 is for Phoenix anyway, is going to be about can they be the aggressor and want it more, right? Because other than that, like, there's not a whole lot they can do. And, you know, the 2 days off, I think it's going to help because, you know, Chris is older. I think, you know, Devin and DeAndre, those guys are fine. But, you know, I think Chris will definitely need those 2 days off because that hand is obviously bothering him.
I think it's really going to come down. I mean, you know, if Milwaukee just plays well, maybe not great, but well, I think it comes down to Phoenix is willing to shoot the ball. If they can control their turnovers, no guarantee they can. If they fought much better on the glass tonight. And one reason why Milwaukee had 17 after 3 of those last game is because they missed, you know, 100,000 shots. So, they, you know, they're if you limit their possessions via turnovers, you can get less shots. And then they fought much better at the rim. Ayton was, you know, obviously a factor in that, which is you can kind of count that going forward. But Phoenix, we know, can really shoot it. Like they can beat you just with their shooting. But with that happening, it means Booker's not living and dying with, you know, 20 mid-range jumpers. Mm-hmm. And Milwaukee is making him take those and staying home on every one. And so it's hard for Phoenix now to come up with a new way. Like we are going to see what we saw in game 2. But I guarantee you right now, Monty's talking on press conference. He's talking about only getting 19 threes up. Yep. He's talking about that.
Yep.
Like now it may be on film. There's 5, 6, 7 times where guys could have shot and didn't. I don't know that I saw 5 or 6 or 7, maybe 1 or 2 for Phoenix.
I don't think it was that many.
I think they took what they could have. They just got to be better at it. And, you know, they've got to probably play with more force attacking the rim. But they don't really have a lot of guys to do that. This is part of the problem. So Milwaukee's in the driver's seat for sure. And but it's silly to think that it's over. Because absolutely Phoenix can win game 6. And then they go back to home.
Oh, yeah. And then we know what game 7s are. That's literally a toss up. Any crazy things happen in game 7s. Guys, we're going to open it up to questions. So hit that raise hand button on the bottom of the app there, and we will call on you. Coach, I just want to talk about how, what was it? It was the conference semifinals. When they were down 0-2 to Brooklyn, it was, hey, get ready. Milwaukee Bucks head coaching job going to be wide open. Now, Bud likely getting a 5-year extension.
I tell you, the guy that should most want Bud to get fired is Bud. Because as long as there's a coaching job available, he's going to make even more money somewhere else. So, yeah, he's not getting fired, of course. I don't think he is anyway. I think this has been really – all this goes back to the – you know, they're not champions yet, but they're on the precipice, right? They've not been anywhere close to this. This goes to him opening up their defense this season and suffering because of it. They weren't a 1 seed or a 2 seed. They were a 3 seed, right? Mm-hmm. they just try different things, and they've not been doing that. And because they tried stuff, they lost more games. But I think it puts them into a – they're just more capable of trying lots of things now defensively.
Yes.
And I think management has really failed them. They're just so – they had one injury to a starter. That's it, one. And it's a legit injury to a legit player. The fact that they're only – that probably Portis and Pat Connaughton, I give them credit for that. But you can't only – you can't be 7-D. I think that's a failure on management side, but on the coaching side, they found ways to unlock Drew. They, you know, Drew's in his first year there, and they just have a nice little blend of when to play with Giannis as the primary guy, and when to let Middleton just take over, because he's just he has a Bernard King style early release jumper.
Oh, yeah.
At 6'7", 6'8". It's really hard to contest him, and he's a big time shot maker. He's a very, very special shot maker, and good enough to drive if you crowd him too much. And like, you know, Bud has a, they've had great offense in the past. They've had great defense in the past. Their players have gotten better. Middleton and Giannis have gotten better there. And I think really telling thing was the 4-for-20 from Drew. That is clearly a coach that has empowered his point guard to just, hey, buddy, you got to take those shots. We need you on defense. We need your passing. We need your poise. I'm going to ride with you to the ground if I have to, because I thought giving him a chance to go 4-for-20 in game four enabled him to do what he did tonight in game five.
No doubt. I mean, and Bud's got to get credit for, you know, breathing spirit, as we often like to talk about, right?
Yeah.
And Drew, no, hey, it's all right. We're going to trust you and do your thing. And you can see his teammates all rallying around him during the game and post game. You know, Middleton, again, I mean, his footwork, he can get, you know, we always talk about what the best players in the league can do. Well, they can get to their spot against any defense. It doesn't matter. And Middleton can do that. There was a play in the third, I think it was, where they were forcing him left because that's the direction you want to force him. But he was able to get back to his right using a snake dribble, and I was like, man, that is just good stuff by Middleton.
What you said is right, of course. But there's something else too. I don't know how much if you played and what level you were able to play. But there's a what the great scorers can do, especially the great shooters, is they know how to get their rhythm where they can get the shot over you. Because as they're coming in rhythm to shoot, they're taking you out of your rhythm to contest. It's hard to explain.
No, I know exactly.
And so it's just that it's just a beat. It's like a blink of an eye, or maybe two blinks of an eye, where as you're kind of coming down, they're up. And before you can go up, you've got to gather. It's too late.
Yeah.
There's just a feel, like a little bit different, but an example. Scores know how to use their body. So remember when Booker trucked Drew Holiday?
Yep.
That's an offensive foul. Not in the NBA Finals, it's not, typically.
Right.
In a regular season, they're probably calling it. But Booker's done that 1,000 times in his life, guaranteed. A lot of guys that are good players and not scorers, they don't really know how to do it where it's not flagrant. That was not flagrant by Booker.
Nope.
He's just solid himself. He didn't extend his arm, but he used his body to create space.
Yep.
So that's one trick scorers use. But what Middleton has, you remember, you'll remember him. Remember John Salmons?
Oh, yeah.
Played at Miami. I watched him play a ton. I watched him in college. I watched him. He's from Philly, I think. I watched him as a pro a lot. He was never a great scorer, but John had a really great ability to get you thinking for just a millisecond that he's about to drive left from 18 feet, whatever. And then as you just kind of put your arms down and bent down because here comes the drive, he was getting that shot off. And it's just it's a nuanced, talented thing. I work with players on this all the time, and most guys can't figure it out, which means they're not going to be scorers that are primary scorers unless they can play bully ball inside. The guy like Middleton, they're just, you know, Chris Paul's got it beautifully. That's how Chris Paul get a shot off against Giannis.
Of course. Yep.
He just had the perfect timing to let and fade all of that. The angle it comes off their finger pads, they practice this a million times, and It's just, it's a really special talent. If people like Giannis ever had that talent, I would say he'd win the MVP, but he's already won two MVPs.
Right.
It'd be unfair. Yeah, it'd be unfair. There's not that many guys could even force to do that anyway, which is why they don't ever figure it out.
Yeah.
Because you already can't really contest Giannis as it is, you know?
It was really interesting just watching a lot of that shot making in this game tonight. And again, that play that you mentioned specifically about Book, how he shedded Holiday. Now, Holiday's not an easy guy to shed defensively, right?
No.
Like,
no.
That dude's thick, right? Like, and they were that was just, again, you said Book has done that a million times in his life playing basketball. I'm impressed with this young man. Again, he's not that old, guys. I know people think he's been in the league a million years. It's like 24, 25. I mean, he's super young. And, you know, he's obviously ready for the stage. If there are no questions from the audience, Coach, I'm going to sort of look. We already talked about Game 6, and we think anything can happen. We're going to lean Milwaukee because they're at home, but, you know, we might change our minds. Do you think, and it's, you know, it's kind of a prognostication thing, but it's what we kind of do. Do you think that the Bucks have the opportunity to sort of create a dynastic run here if they do, in fact, win this one?
Oh, I mean, it's hard to be dynastic because of the talent around the league.
Yeah.
But they're playing 5-on-4 anyway. They've got to replace PJ. So they're missing us. He started for 2 straight years.
Yes.
And he's only played 3 years. So sign an extension probably this offseason, Dante. So that's going to be a nice addition, just getting him back. I don't know if they'll be able to. I don't think they'll be able to keep Portis, but they can find another serviceable big. They probably have to. Lopez is getting a little long in the tooth, but that core three, because of what you said earlier, they can really guard and they can really play together. It's they're going to be a tough out. If you figure, you know, if Dame goes to Philadelphia, they're probably favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have a hard time buying Brooklyn because of injuries, not because of talent.
Right.
But, I mean, Durant made it through this year well. Maybe Harden can next year.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyrie, you know, he's kind of hit or miss with that. But, you know, they're certainly not going to be an easy team to beat. That, you know, there's no doubt of that. So it's just tough. And then you think about who's in the West. But, no, I think Milwaukee's got themselves with those three guys, plus Dante, who's a nice core piece. There's four. That gives you something. And, you know, there's plenty of centers out there. And Lopez is still good enough to at least help to some degree. And maybe they pay Portis. I don't know. I don't know what he's in the open market, but Portis was one of the top shooters in the league this year for a guy that can rebound and run and play. Tonight I thought he was sloppy, but it was an energy slop. You'll take it when a guy's playing that hard. Remember, Holiday had a rebound and he knocked it out of Holiday's hands. Mm-hmm. He made a couple of mistakes, just too overeager. But you want that. Like, you know, they should be really excited about Bobby Portis. And Bobby Portis' agent should be very happy too, because they're going to, I think he's going to make some good money.
I'm watching the last play again where Holiday got that steal on Booker. And it's one of those things where, like, man, if another player could have just come around the top and gotten into Book's sight line maybe a little bit better, maybe he makes that pass, you know, when Holiday doesn't get the steal. But, you know, is what it is. Thank you for joining us for the True Hoop Game 5 Finals Breakdown. We will be back on Tuesday evening for Game 6. That might be the closeout game in Milwaukee. We'll find out. Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Rob. We'll talk to you then, bud.
All right, guys. Bye-bye.